Taiwan special, episode 2 for the week. I promised I'd talk about what's going on with China. This is really heating up. I made some comments at the Pacific Times and talked about that in the Symphony editorial dealio. Over the weekend, there was this meeting at some Institute for International, the International Institute for Strategy Studying, or something, the Strategic Studies, is in Singapore, and all this brass, leaders in the military, they call them brass, the leader, you know, all this brass from different countries get together and shout and, you know, pound the table. You know what? Ted Cruz quoted it really well, and this is an old thing. This is a lawyer proverb. If you have the law in a court case, you have the law on your side, pound the law. If you have the evidence on your side, pound the evidence. If you have neither on your side, pound the table. And really, that's what's going on. Between the Chinese brass and the American brass, these leaders are making threats. We're not going to tiptoe around China no more. And then China, we will risk everything, any cost, to claim what is ours. And we will defeat everyone. You know, so that's, they have no idea how much that comes across as a grandiosity complex to anyone that took sociology 101. Maybe not social, maybe psychology 101, or even psychology in junior high school, if there is such a class. Really, that's the thing about crazy, is that you don't, like, crazy people don't know how much other people see that they're crazy, you know. So this is really getting, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. The whole trade war thing was not a trade war. This is not a trade war leading to a real war. This is a real war developing, and the trade war was a stall and information tactic. All that trade war negotiation stuff, I don't think it would ever had a hope of going anywhere. It was building the case for why the conflict is legitimate anyway. So when, you know, Trump, you know, goes there, it's going to be, we tried to tell him, I made my greatest effort. It was the best effort I made. And I tell you, you know, it's China. They don't want to listen. They don't want to listen. You know, Xi Jinping is my friend, best friend. I get beautiful letters from him, and it's not going to work. Sometimes you got to walk, and that's just the way it is, I guess. You know, so you have that case being built against China, but also in these negotiations, you know, the Pentagon was figuring out what flips China's switch, what makes them angry. America is a brilliant provocateur. We know how to provoke other countries into attacking us before they're ready to. See, right now you've got Taiwan's election coming up, and the Taiwanese are, you hear this stuff, you know, look, I love Taiwan. I really do. I love them. Just like I love any teenager. I mean, I love kids, but it doesn't mean that they got to, excuse me. I love kids, but it doesn't mean that they don't have to grow up. And I love adorable Taiwan. Their foreign minister's going around, you know, Taiwan is a mature democracy. you joking. I think I mentioned this yesterday, the chaos that's going on. Look, don't tell me it's mature. But there, that democracy, you know, they elected a leader who made brilliant changes. She really fought the work culture that makes people slaves. I mean, really, bosses in Taiwan try to enslave people. I'm a victim of human trafficking. I know. I've watched it. They do it to their own people. They did it to me. I have fewer rights as a foreigner, so it injured me a lot more. And their current president has done a lot to stop that human trafficking stuff. It's amazing what President Tsai Ing-wen has done to protect human rights in Taiwan. The problem is, when the economy is built on these bosses who think that they're little mini demigods who can never possibly be wrong by definition, you take that and then everything's cheap because of that. The bosses are rich. The employees get paid almost nothing. You start to normalize that. Some companies might have some problems because they're bad and they'll have to shift around to new companies. And so making the economy good and honest, well, it wasn't all wonderful immediately now, and people have no concept of long-term results. I mean, in America, we flip-flop every 2 years. In Taiwan, it's even a shorter attention span for political policy and stuff. So that's going on. They're all having buyer's regret, even though what they bought was good. It's like they'll never be satisfied anyway. So there are major election things happening, and it's looking a lot like the front runners of the upcoming election. They might all of a sudden be, yeah, you'd be in favor of surrendering to China. Yeah, let's let China come here and take over everything. That might be coming. It's what it could be looking like. So America's going to be going, look, we can't lose Taiwan. And so I think there's a push in the Pentagon. I'm just guessing. I have no reason for insider information on this. I only know if I were in the Pentagon, I would be in a hurry to provoke China as fast as possible. And that is happening. So you've got this trade war thing. All it's done is irritate the Chinese. They're very easily provoked, but you've got to refine the ability to know what flips their switches. And I think that's what this has been all about. We've got trade stuff going on. We've got military stuff in the South Sea. Back in America, they call it the South Sea, the South China Sea or something like that. But I'm over here. It's the South Sea. There's only one South Sea in the world, as I know. I don't think there are other seas called the South Sea. But anyhow, the South China Sea, because Americans don't look at that part of the globe very often, I suppose. So anyhow, whatever. I call it the South Sea. On the map, it says the South China Sea or Sea of China or who knows. But in the South Sea, there's all these little tiny islands. China made some of their own. They're unsinkable aircraft carriers, so to speak. The problem with those little islands that China made, like the problem with those is that they might not be sinkable, but they're not tsunami proof. Tsunamis happen from time to time, and they got these islands built on reclaimed land, which means that they're kind of low down to the ground. An aircraft carrier, tsunami comes along. It's just a little tiny rise in water level out in the sea, and the aircraft carrier just goes up with the water. You know, that's normal. But, what's happening in the South Sea? So you've got these militarized islands. China, really, they want to claim that all of the water from China down to the Philippines is their domestic water. And it's like if a boat, it's major shipping lanes go through there. All over the world, ships travel through there. And if China claims that, then basically all these ships would have to go through China. And that's kind of what's going on. Like, yeah. And see, China says, it's our right. It's like, you're right, huh? Well, your rights are a hazard to the rest of the world. So if really it is China's right to own the whole ocean, if it is, rest of the world isn't going to like that. They're going to want to get rid of China. And China doesn't know how they come across to others. But that's not the point with the Pentagon. I think that the United States has been refining its ability to know how to provoke China and make them mad. That's what I think this has been about. And I think they finally figured it out. I said long ago, once the F-35 is all figured out and it's ready to go, we'll watch for it to take place. So I think the provocation, this is not diplomacy gone bad. See, all these pundits, this is diplomacy gone bad. This isn't diplomacy gone bad. This is a strategic development that's been very, very well engineered, that's gone very, very well. If you look at what the larger purpose is, China's cruel. The genocide, 200,000 people, you know, just sent to the hospital, and then their organs are harvested and they're dead. They just disappear, and they try to tell you how to run your business and what kind of words to use. Winnie the Pooh is offensive because it looked like a picture of Xi Jinping and Barack Obama looked like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger walking, and so that's offensive. It's like these guys are in, they want to shut down social media and boss everybody around. Winnie the Pooh is like, you can go to jail for that, I think, you know, like for having Winnie the Pooh anywhere in chat. Like, you know, when does the lack of humor end? Yeah, we're in the process of building up war with China before it gets too late, while we still got the opportunity to do so. And, it's clipping right along. That's really what I think about what's happening. See you tomorrow.